11, and I'm going to try my best to keep it under an hour this time. I did not realize it. Me and Christy had gotten to the car. I looked at the clock, and I said, "Were we in there an hour?" She goes, "No, you preached for an hour." We were in there an hour and a half. So that is, but you know what? I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I got to preach, amen. I love to be able to spread God's word, and you know, that's, I remember the message, why we are the way we are, and that's why I am the way I am. I love to tell you about Jesus, and I love to hear what God has done for you, and I love being here on prayer meeting, because not just do we get to be able to bear one another's burdens, not do we get to bring our petitions before the Lord, because we can do that at any time, but it's a corporate prayer. It's communal. It's together. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? If you have your space in Hebrews, I think I said 11, Hebrews chapter 10, excuse me, verses 22 through 25, I'll be reading. Once you're there, please stand with us, refresh yourselves for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. We won't try to take much time, but if we do, I think that'll be all right, won't it? It says here, "Now let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he," I like that, "for he is faithful that promised." I'm going to say that one more time. "For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Father, thank you. Simply that, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Thank you for the ability to be here. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for allowing us, Lord God, just to be together. Lord, I pray that you would touch each person here, each child, Father, Lord God, that is saved by your marvelous grace. But God, I also pray for if there are any lost here, Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, we know about, we understand, Lord God, what you have done for us. And Lord, so many don't and so many question, but God, never let us question your love for us. And God, we thank you for all that you do in your Son's heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want us to focus on these three verses. I don't think I've ever preached this here before. I'm sure I've preached this once. To be honest with you, I was going to go a completely different way. I've been stuck in the book of Jude. That's what I preached the last time I was here. I preached on why we are the way we are, and I was going to, if the Lord would have it, preach on this simple thought of keep moving forward. And let me tell you this, keep moving forward. Don't stop. Amen. But the thought came to mind is this, is let us reach our full potential. Let us reach our full potential is what I'm going to be preaching on. You'll notice that three times we're given the directive, we're given the charge, let us. Now, he's not talking to the lost. He's talking to us. We can apply this to our lives, Christians. We can apply this to what we are to do as Christians. We see this three times. He's speaking directly. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And let us consider one another. As I've said before, I want to preach on this simple thought. Let us reach our full potential. Now, if you've never had a parent or a teacher or someone say, you know, I don't think you're reaching your full potential. Have you actually ever lived? I mean, here's the thing is that I have had, I guess you would say, many people say, I don't think you're reaching your full potential. I think you could do more. I think you could do better. I think you could maybe apply yourself more. And then I always say this, well, I'm trying. And then I'm actually not trying. I'm just trying to get away from the conversation because I want to do what I want to do. You see, we have so many opportunities in life. We have so many opportunities to do what God would have us to do. But really, we think we could get to that later. Let us do one more thing over here. Let us go over here and finish what we were doing. I heard a man say this one time, we need to stop asking God to bless what we're doing and start doing what God is blessing. Now, I'm not saying to quit asking God and quit seeking His approval and keep seeking His direction, but God is blessing things that we need to get on board with. I believe God is blessing this church. And there's so many who would rather sit out and not apply themselves because you know why? Somebody else will do it. It's unfortunate someone else will do it. You've heard the story of the three men who were in charge of feeding the one dog, and unfortunately the dog starved to death because the three men thought the other two would do it. Somebody else will do it. But here's the thing, is that he didn't say, let the person over here, or let the pastor, or let the deacon. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. And I want to preach and give you just a few simple points on this, on reaching our full potential, because we see here that we can reach our full potential because we have been given the tools to do so. You see, God has blessed us with the ability to reach our full potential. Paul preached on pressing towards the mark. You see, in the end, there's the end. There's coming a day when we will not gather together. Amen? There's coming a day when we won't get up and think, well, it's Wednesday, it's prayer meeting, or it's Sunday morning, it's Sunday service. We won't think that because we won't be here. But while we are here, why not take advantage of the opportunities that He has given us? Because I want to give to you this evening, what I believe we can use, or what we have to reach our full potential. First of all, we have assurance. We have assurance. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance. Have you ever actually looked at those words? Have you ever actually looked what the word assurance means? It means to be sure. It means to know. You see, I know God is real. I know that there's a God in heaven. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have that blessed assurance. What I'm trying to say is you cannot put any other thought in my head that would make me think contrary-wise to what the Bible says. I have assurance. And in that assurance, we see in verse 22, listen real quick, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In this we find, first of all, our position. Our position. Listen, he said, let us draw near. That means let us get close. If I were to ask you, how close do you want to get to God? What would be your answer? I would hope it'd be this, as close as I possibly could get. But you see, it's unfortunate so many people are wanting to keep him at an arm's length. Listen real quick. We see here, our position should not be on the sidelines. There are no third string quarterbacks. There are no reserves. There are no people, spectators. This is not a spectator sport. This is life or death. This is real. I think we have gotten so caught up in the social media platforms and the digital age of streaming and all these things that we think that what goes our children. Our position should be simply this, is that what God says goes. Simple, right? Our position should be to get as close to God as possible. And the last time I checked that, all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We see here, look, real quick, James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Because when we get close to Him, He gets close to us. I mean, it may seem like I'm repeating myself, but the fact of the matter is that this is as simple as it gets, and we try to outsmart the Word of God. We try to analyze and break down and bring it to the tiniest little decimal or period. And really, it's this: is that our position should be what God says goes. But not only do we see our position, in our position we see our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with these eyes. But with the eye of faith, I know He's real. With that eye of faith, I came to the realization that without Him, the only thing that I was destined for was hell. But I have faith. And knowing that in the position He has set us in, there may be ups and downs. There may be fiery darts from coming at us from the devil. But that's when we hold that shield of faith, right? That's assurance. That's knowing what God says goes. That's assurance knowing that He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. Listen, real quick. I want you to look real quick in regards to this in regards to this part of 22. It says here, true and heart. True and heart. Now, we know this to be true. This has to be honest and sincere, because Christ knows our hearts better than we do. Remember? Man looketh on the outside, but God what? He looks on the heart. He looks within. He knows our intent. He knows if we're serious or not. Hey, listen to you. Listen, and I've been praying about this. And I would ask you to yoke together in prayer with us, is that I want to be submissive. And not only do I want to be submissive, but I want to be committed. I want our stand and our position of assurance to be true. And not only do I want it to be true, I want it to be faithful. And not only do I want it to be faithful, it needs to be sincere. Because here's the problem. And I'm not trying to beat the church, I'm trying to encourage you. Is that it's unfortunate how many apathetic people there are in the church. There's no feeling. There's no excitement. There's no joy, because we're more worried about what the person sitting next to us or sitting behind us or sitting in front of us may think if we raise our hand or kick off our shoes and take a lap, because it's just you hear that song, you know, I'm drinking from my saucer for my cup overflows. You know that song? I mean, sometimes that cup just overflows that you can't help it, and it comes out. I heard a man say this right now: to truly serve God, we must embarrass the flesh. Because it's not about what we look like. It's not about the right words, but it's the sincerity in it. You know when it's real. Because you start to get that feeling that you can't explain. Yeah, perhaps your blood pressure will raise a little bit, or your face will get a little bit red, or your eyes will get a little bit teary, because, you know, man, we get some stuff stuck in our eyes from time to time. You know what that's called? It's called realization. It's kicking out the pride and letting the peace within come out. So we see here, we see the assurance that we have to reach our full potential. We see our position. We see our faith. Hey, we see not only that, but we see the endurance. I feel like every time I'm here, I mention something about exercising, and you can tell that I don't do that much. Christy and me were talking about Weight Watchers, and I said, and listen, it works for some people. I'm so proud of her, but me, I've been watching my weight go up. I'm telling you. But hey, you get those 2 for $5 fish fillets at McDonald's, you'll see some endurance. I'll walk. But here's the truth, is that He gives us that strength. You can tell when a Christian is tired. You ever not perhaps studied your Bible one day and you start to get down and you just realize that you just can't go back and think about something peaceful? Because we need that daily dose. Hey, we need to eat. If I don't eat at least 3 to 5 times a day, I get a little antsy. What do they call it? Hangry? I do. I get a little mad. If I don't open, and here I'm guilty of this. If I don't open my Bible at least once a day, there's something off. And unfortunately, I've done that. Oh yeah, the preacher's telling you he sometimes gets too busy in his own self to read. And it shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't have to make time for God. We make time around God. So in this, we see the endurance. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. You know, he doesn't wake up and think, you know, maybe. No, my God does not sleep. He does not slumber. He is focused pinpoint on each and every one of us. He knows the very hairs of our head, on our head. His thoughts of us are greater than the sum of the sands. He knows who we are. And it's unfortunate that sometimes we forget who He is. Listen to this. Real quick. John, in this endurance, we see our confidence. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. John 10, 28 and 29 says this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know why we shouldn't fail? Because He doesn't fail. But you know what? We're going to fail. Because we still got this flesh on us. We've still got this old tabernacle on us. But here's the wonderful thing about it, is that when we do fail, we realize it. And we try our best not to do it again. But we're going to do it again. And when we do it again, we realize that we need to keep trying our best not to do it again. And how do we try our best? We put it in His hands and we let Him take control. Because if I was to try my best, I would fail again, and I'd have to realize that I'd have to try my best to not fail again. You get what I'm saying? It's a vicious cycle. It's a circle that keeps going around and around. We die daily. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. And we're all going to mess up. We keep saying it time and time again, but we must have the confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him. You know why? Because no man can pluck me from my Father's hands. 1 Corinthians, listen to this. Listen to this. We see this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Can I be honest with you? I don't want to die because I feel like I've got things that the Lord would have me to do. I get wore out, and sometimes I feel like just sitting down. But the wonderful thing is this, is that he reminds us that we must keep going. He reminds us that, hey, there is no hold over us in death. He's already conquered it. He has the victory. And when he calls me home, whether it's in the rapture or by the grave, I get to be with him. And I remember the one thing that I want to hear him say to me. And this is what needs to keep us going. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want him to say to me. Sure, I know that I'm going to have to answer for some things. I'm going to have to go to that judgment seat. But I'm just thankful I don't have to go to that great white throne. But we're going to have to realize that he has given us that confidence to keep going. And that endurance. I've already mentioned this. Listen to this. Not only in confidence through endurance, but in our stand. I always tell on myself. I was a good kid, if you ask certain people. But we all have that one time or another where it's, Mom, can I do this? No. Mom, I need to do this. No. Please let me do this. No. And you keep pushing, and you keep pushing, and you think that she's not going to break, but then you go to Dad. Or you go to someone else. Sister's ever here going to me. But here's the thing, is that you, when they tell you no, when they've told you no, they're taking a stand. And no matter how much you press them, they're not going to bend. They're not going to budge. Sometimes, I mean, I've never had that happen. I've pushed and pushed and pushed. And never once did my parents give in, but you get the little sister or the little brother, and, you know, they don't love them as much as, you know, yeah, they do. But then you think, well, if they can't, you let them do that. But what I'm trying to get at is that stand that they're taking, that means that they're set. Let's chase the rabbit there. But what I get at is this, is that the stand that we take is much more important. I mean, we have to take a stand on a lot of things. We have to be firm in a lot of things. We have to be set in a lot of things. But the wonderful thing about this is that we can stand, we can be firm, and we can be set on a foundation that does not shake. On a foundation that does not move. So why not keep going? Why not be strengthened in realizing and remembering that it doesn't matter what anybody else says? It doesn't matter what they call us. It doesn't matter what they throw at us. It doesn't matter what they try to assume we are. To the world, we are the worst thing possible. We're Christians. There's no room for Christians in the world. You know that, right? And to be honest with you, I'm okay with that. Because I don't want to get into the normalcy of today. I don't want to be normal. I want to be peculiar. Because that's what the Bible calls his children, a peculiar people. Without wavering. And I want us to remember something in this, and I'll get on to my next point. But in the stand that we take, do we not realize that we have a blessed book with 66 books that tells us of our brothers and sisters who took a stand and did not waver and faced much more than what we do today? Facing persecution, false accusations, threats of death, and harm. And to be honest with you, there are men and women today who are still getting these threats. You see, here's the thing. If someone could walk in right now and hand me a piece of paper and say that we have to shut down, and most people would say that's the end of the world. Doesn't mean we're going to. But I mean, churches being burned. Men and women being persecuted, beaten. And they just keep going. And they keep going. And they keep getting more and more stronger and stronger. And you know what the thing is? Is the world's hating it. And they're wondering, where is this strength coming from? And the best answer is the only answer, God. But listen to this. We also receive endurance from Christ. Listen, for he is faithful that promised. Look, I have had people lie to me. I have had people let me down. I've let people down. I've broken promises. Sometimes it's not. It wasn't even on purpose. You tell a friend you're going to help them. They're counting on you, and something happens. And it happens at the most inopportune times. But he has never failed. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you try to make the argument. Listen to me. He has never failed. He has kept every promise. He's faithful. He's our friend, our ally, our brother, our love, our bridegroom, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The one who laid down his life for us. If you cannot get strength from that, there is something wrong. And perhaps you need to reevaluate a few things. Not only this, we see my third point, compassion. Because, listen to this, we are in this together. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And in this compassion, we see two things real quick. First of all, we see a duty. We see a commission, if you will. And that's this. And let us consider one another. We need to take care of one another. When one person's down, we pray for that person. We love on them. We ask them if there's anything we can do for them. Because here's the thing. There's going to be a time when you need someone. Now, we always have the Lord. And that's the greatest encouragement there is. That's the perfect compassion right there. But we have been given one another for a reason. And I know people are hurting. I know it. There are people who just want to give up. Throw in the towel. Go on about their day. Focus on themselves. But here's the thing, is that being a Christian is not, it's a personal salvation, but it's not an individual work as far as the church. We're in this together. Not only do we see compassion in this duty, in this commission, but we see the exhortation. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I'm about done. I want us to look at that word provoke one time. That's not always a bad thing to do. Don't provoke your sister. Don't provoke them. Don't stop pushing them. Perhaps, hey, there's a time and place when we do need to be pushed. When we do need to be incited a little bit. When we do need to be lifted up. When we do need to be encouraged. When we do need to be reminded to
Don't worry about it.
Stay home. There's a game on. Don't worry about it. You got to work tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You got school tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Go do this. Go do something else that can take your mind completely off God. I mean, it is amazing. And I've said it this year before. It is amazing at how many family dinners happen on Sunday around church time. And how upset that person will get because you didn't come and visit. Because you feel like you had something more important to do. And you do. Because there's someone more important that you need to be with. And hey, you know, the lost people are important too. We forget that a lot. Lost people are important. Why is that? Because they're on their way to hell. And that's about as blunt as I can be. That's about as direct as I can be. And hell's a real place. I've got family. If they don't get right, are on their way there. And if they don't do something about it, they're going to be there. We've got church members. We've got people thinking they're okay because someone said they were. Hey, if that's not a duty to act, if that's not a sign of compassion, if that's not a wake-up call, to get strengthened, if that's not giving assurance and knowing that, hey, I have a desire for the lost, I don't know what is. And finally I'll end with this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The last point is simply this: assembly. I will say this until I'm blue in the face and the cows come home. You need to be in church. People who say, well, I can be a Christian and not have to go to church. I don't think that's entirely true. You want to know why? Because I don't have a desire to stay home on Sundays. I don't have a desire to skip church. I don't have a desire to just maybe put the live stream on while I'm doing the dishes. I want to be in church. I need to be in church. Let us assemble. Let us have compassion. Let us receive endurance. Let us use that blessed assurance and going out and telling just one person about Jesus. And then after you tell one person, tell the next person. Then after you tell that next person, guess what? It's okay to tell someone else. And then if you want to go check on that person you told before, that's okay too. Make sure that they got what you were saying. Because here's the thing. The world has taken a stand against us. And it's almost like we're afraid of it. We're a little scared of it. They're taking stuff off social media. They're trying to silence us. They're trying to remove the preaching. They're trying to close us out. And yes, I know that there are shut-ins.
that it's not just about getting saved and staying right here, but we need to keep going forward to reach our full potential. We need to keep pressing on to reach our full potential. Because no one has ever succeeded in doing anything of accomplishment by just doing this. Except failing. Except failing. Because they waited on someone else. I don't want to fail my lost people. It says three times in the scriptures that I stated, let us. Because perhaps I can't reach someone who's dear to me, brother. You might have experiences that I don't, and you can relate. Or maybe I have experiences from to touch or help your loss. But how do we know unless it's us? It's us. I'll end with this. We are coming to a time. We are in a time where everyone wants to be an individual. But act the exact same way. Meaning this is that we have people influencing one another to act exactly how they're acting, to believe exactly what they're believing, to pull up something new, but to respect everyone else as long as it falls in the line of what they believe. Everyone wants unity as long as it's only about what the world wants. You see, here's the thing. I don't want to be united with the world. I know you don't. The only one who I want to be united with is Christ. And that includes you because you are part of the body of Christ. But if we don't take that stand, if we don't strengthen one another, encourage one another, if we don't have confidence in God, if we don't assemble when the church doors open, the world will reach its full potential. And that means our loss will never know, will love, joy, and wonderful peace that passes all of us. Amen.
Thank you, brother. We off. Brother Cole.